Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Story time.
I went hiking with a couple friends back in 2013, and we were trailblazing, if you will. Went 6-7 miles off the trail. We stopped to set up our hammocks and rest for the night, and had gotten a decent-sized fire going, when we heard only what I could describe as a banshee scream, sending the worst chills I've ever had in my life rocketing up my spine. As soon as it happened, our fire popped a log out almost to my feet, about 5 foot, while it was still on fire. At this point, I'm freaking out and couldn't sleep. 4 a.m. rolls around and nature calls, so I take a walk for about 20-30 feet back towards the way we came from. I stood there and started undoing my zipper to take a pee when my headlamp illuminated a tan whitish clump in the dirt. The dirt was a dark brown because it had rained the morning before and still a little wet. I just brushed it off as a piece of trash or something. But I went to pick it up when it wouldn't come up. I tried to dig it up because I hate it when people litter in the forest. I found that it was a porcelain doll's head, nothing more, just a damn head. I was freaked out, and I longer had to pee, so yeah, the hike back down went way faster than the hike up. That scream still keeps me up at night. Last May 2022, me and a few friends went backpacking in the Appalachian Range of Pennsylvania. We started our trip in George Washington National Forest, Virginia, and eventually ended in Sussex County, New Jersey. Most of the hike was along the Appalachian Trail. We had set up camp in the early afternoon in Pine Grove Furnace State Park near Fuller Lake. We each brought weapons for protection against bears or whatever may have shown up. Anyway, as it got closer to the evening at around 5 p.m., I was fishing in a creek about a quarter mile away from camp, and I started to smell something bad. I couldn't describe the odor, it was just bad. I heard some rustling in the bushes about 200 yards away. It was quite clear that it was footsteps from the sound. Almost thinking that it was one of my friends, I realized that they were south of me, so I started to panic. Whatever it was getting closer to my fishing spot, and the smell started getting stronger. My fishing pole was in my left hand, and my right hand was on my gun, as I was getting ready to unholster it. I couldn't get over the smell, but at the same time, I was worried about my life. I kept my eyes focused in the direction of the loud footsteps. I can see a big open area, kind of like a pasture, about 50 yards away, which is where the footsteps are coming from. I see what I think is a man in a possible reddish-brown ghillie suit walking behind the trees on the edge of the open area. But the problem is that it was about 2 or 3 feet taller than me, as I'm only 6'2", which was unbelievable. None of my friends are close to my height, but that thing that I saw was built. I can see the muscle movement of its legs. I'm no expert on Sasquatch, but I do know what I saw was no bear, as it was walking on two legs, not in any way that I've seen. Both the legs and the arms are primitive and built like an oversized gorilla. The thing probably weighed about 900 pounds. It ended up vanishing as it went to my right in the deeper woods. But after the footsteps stopped, I heard what sounded like chatter, kind of like some sort of native Indian language. After the chatter stopped, the footsteps started up again. But it was footsteps going in one direction, and another sound of footsteps going in the opposite direction. I never told my friends about the experience, because I didn't want them to think that I was crazy. Some people might be skeptical about this, but I know what I saw and heard wasn't in the ordinary. Years ago, I went camping with my girlfriend wife, now off the Appalachian Trail in the North Georgia mountains. We camped about 100 yards off a fire road, which we drove up in my truck. I had firewood in the bed of my truck. I chose not to haul to the campsite. I noticed just before dark the quantity of firewood seemed lower than I remembered. I thought nothing of it at the time as we were a 45-minute drive from anywhere, and was fairly certain there were no other hikers or campers close by. Nearing midnight, I decided to get a couple more pieces of wood. My wife was not comfortable being alone in the woods, so she walked to the truck with me. There was no moon that night, so I grabbed my flashlight. I also grabbed my gun. My wife asked me more than once if a gun was really necessary. When we got to my truck, we heard rustling about 20 feet away in the fire road. I shone my light in that direction, and we see a middle-aged man and two teenage boys. They were filthy with tattered clothes, certainly no hikers. Think the movie Deliverance. The man asked, "Y'all got any sticks?" I replied nope, grabbed the last couple pieces of wood, and returned to our campsite. I told my wife within their earshot. That's why I brought a gun. Never saw nor heard them again. To start this story and give a little insight about me, I'm an 18-year-old female who grew up in Michigan and has lived in the country for as long as I can remember. Heads up, this is a long story, so please bear with me. Now, back to the story. On one particular hot summer weekend, me and a couple of friends, including my boyfriend, let's call him Tony, and my older brother, let's call him Brad, decided we were going to do some camping for the weekend. Since it was such a nice, warm week, Tony's parents owned a cabin way out in Ludington, surrounded by a huge wooded area with a personal lake, and no neighbors for at least 4 miles. But being stupid teenagers, we didn't really think about that. All we were ready for was to party, like any normal teenagers would. Well, after being there for 2 hours, our fun had started. Tony's friends had brought a ton of alcohol and weed to last us for the weekend, so we wouldn't be bored, since we had no service and only movies to watch. After it got around 12 a.m. and was pitch black, we had a huge bonfire going. It was a total of 6 people, including me and Tony. As we talked and laughed about upcoming events in our lives, we were so distracted that we didn't even notice that my brother had literally frozen his eyes to one section of the woods. Mind you, we were all intoxicated and high at the time. Eventually, our talking ceased when Tony realized his friend and my brother had an emotionless expression. "Hey dude, you alright?" he asked Brad. But there was silence. Brad didn't reply or even make any movements that would indicate he heard him. After that, I started to get scared, as well as the other 2 girls there. It took a lot for my brother to act that way. Eventually, I was the first to catch on. He was excessively staring into a certain spot in the woods. I turned my head and followed his gaze the best I could. And when I finally caught on to what he was staring at, my heart dropped. There, right there, was at first glance a dog. At least that's what I thought it was. Some person's dog that had wandered off. But then my brain kicked in, and I realized there were no neighbors for miles, so how could there be a dog? My mind started to race while Tony still tried to get Brad to speak. Even more in one motion, this thing stood up tall, and when I say tall, I mean gigantic. It had to be at least 6 feet tall. Everyone had seen it. Then how could you not? The other two girls and the other boy with us gasped as they finally grasped why my brother was still as hell. No one moved. What seemed like hours, Tony was the first to talk. "No tail," he mumbled. No one heard what he said but Brad and I, swear to you. When I say his eyes widened as big as pan saucers, that freaked me out immediately. "What did you say?" one of the girls asked. "It has no tail," he hissed at her. My heartbeat stopped. He was right, there was no tail on this thing. Suddenly, my clouded alcohol mind cleared up in a fraction of a second, when I finally realized what this thing was exactly. Now I understood why my brother was basically petrified. This thing was a skinwalker. My instincts kicked in right then and there, but before I could nope the hell out of there, this thing let off a terrible stench like rotting meat before screaming inhuman-like. The sound was enough to scare the hell out of everyone. My brother was the first up out of his chair and started shouting native words out to the creature, which seemed to keep it at bay while giving us enough time to get inside. He slammed and locked the door before turning all the lights off and grabbing a special ash from the kitchen counters and started throwing it at every window and door, all while chanting. Of course, he had everyone freaked out and basically in tears at that moment. After he was done, no one said a word for a long time. All of us were still in shock. He grabbed our dad's pistol and had it posted by him for hours. Everyone was entirely too shaken up to even question what happened. We must have fallen asleep eventually because I woke up to my brother packing all of our stuff into two cars early in the morning. I understood why. We had native family, we knew what we were dealing with, and we knew it would come back, and maybe, just maybe, not alone. Before we left, I did a blessing on the cabin and spoke a few calming words to the still freaked out young girls. We left as soon as everything was packed up. To this day, we still haven't explained exactly to our friends what happened that night, and they never bothered to ask us either. So in the Army we have to do land navigation training. This is exactly what you think it is. You get a map, a compass, some grid coordinates, and a limited amount of time to go find as many of those grid coordinates as possible. We have to do this during the day first, then at night. It was during my night iteration in the wilds of Fort Lewis that the following occurred. I had been at it for probably an hour by this point, and it was plenty dark. My only source of light was my red lens flashlight that was basically enough to illuminate my map, and nothing else like discipline makes you harder to spot at night. I'm walking down a road surrounded by thick woods, which of course just makes everything darker. Now, everyone doing this training had a whistle for use if you were in danger. Basically, blow the whistle, and whoever heard it was supposed to answer with theirs, "Drop everything and find you." I'm minding my own business when, sure enough, I hear a whistle, like a clear, man-made whistle, off in the distance to my 7 o'clock. I immediately stop, turn around and blow my whistle. I start walking in the direction I had heard it, thinking they would blow again so I could better locate them, but they had fallen silent. After 2 minutes of me walking, I hear another whistle, but this time it is in basically the opposite direction of where I had heard the first. I, somewhat confused at this point, blew my whistle again, turned around and, a little more hesitantly, walked in the new direction. I have no idea how a person could have covered that distance through thick forest so fast, so I'm a little uneasy now. Trying to ignore my vivid imagination, but also still concerned that someone might need help, I kind of stopped and weighed my options. That's when I heard the third one. Somehow this person had gone from my 7 to about my 2, and now they were at my 11 o'clock, all in the span of like 5-7 minutes. They were far enough away that I couldn't actually see anyone, but I could hear the whistles, and nothing else movement, snapping branches, noises you make when moving through heavy woods very clearly. At this point I said nope, and just started booking it up the road at a brisk pace. After I had completed the training, I asked around to see if anyone had been blowing their whistle. To a person, No one claimed to have blown their whistle. I'm not overly superstitious, but I have no idea what that was. I was just happy to not be abducted at that point. My name is Davey. I was 11 years old, almost 12 at the time of this encounter. Now, at 55 years old, I'm writing this on my birthday, and it's the first time I've talked about it in a long while. This is the very first time I've put it to paper and sent it to someone to tell my story for me. I figured, as a birthday treat this year, I'd share with my favorite YouTube narrator what I saw so many years ago. When we saw the Dog Man, we were on an unofficial camping trip with our Boy Scout unit in Brush Creek State Forest in Ohio in 1976. There were 11 other boys on this trip, but only 6 of us, including myself, and one scout leader saw this thing. For years I had no other term besides Wolfman, or werewolf, or even monster. But now, thanks to things on YouTube, the Sci-Fi Channel, and even the Discovery Channel, I can say that what I saw was most likely a dog man. This wasn't one of those camping trips where you pitch a tent and earn some hours and badges to prove that you can move up in the ranks of Boy Scouts. This camping trip didn't count for Boy Scout units at all. We just wanted to go on another camping trip because the last time we did it, it was so much fun. And that was the time we actually got to earn hours and badges to move up. At the time, I was a tenderfoot and eager to move up to the next rank. But this camping trip scarred me for a long time, and I ended up leaving the Boy Scouts after this. One thing to know about me is that I absolutely love the outdoors, then and now. Though it took me a long time to go back into the woods, now as an adult, I'm a lot more cautious and never go into the forest without a firearm. Back then, as a boy, I would go hiking all the time with my father, even in the parts where I saw this dog man before the encounter happened, and I never saw anything out of the ordinary until that day. I've been in that forest more times than I can count since then too, and even after that encounter, I haven't seen anything strange. But I know it's out there now, and I'm always looking over my shoulder, expecting another encounter with one of these creatures. I believe that as our forests shrink and our population grows, the chances of meeting these creatures are always expanding. One day, I expect somebody to bring in proof that these creatures actually exist. Anyways, on to what I saw. We were hiking one afternoon, me, 5 other boys, and one of our scout leaders. We decided to split into 2 groups, and I just happened to be in the group that was in the direction of the dog man encounter. Lucky me, right? During the hike, we heard this commotion like nothing I've ever heard before. There was this dog barking and snarling like it was fighting for its life, and this other noise that sounded more like a roar and a squeal all combined into one, but it was deep and unnatural, for lack of a better term. 2 of the boys, oddly enough, the ones that usually got in trouble, ran off in the direction of this noise to see what was going on. You'd think if you were in the forest and heard god-awful noises like that, you'd be a little more cautious, right? Not these 2. So they ran off towards what sounded like World War Roman III, and obviously, our scoutmaster, a man named Tom, went after them. The rest of us boys had the sense not to go in the direction that all these noises were coming from, but we ended up chasing after Tom anyway. We came up to this clearing in this little field area, and that's when we saw something that gave me nightmares for years to come. There, in the middle of this field, was this big black dog jumping, snarling, and biting at this gigantic werewolf creature. The dog itself must have weighed 100 pounds. It had long, shaggy black hair, droopy ears, and was pretty muscular for a dog. It had a long tail with all this hair hanging off of it, and thinking back on it now, that dog probably could have passed for a hippie. But even the sight of this big dog, lunging and snarling, couldn't compare to the other creature in that field. If that dog weighed 100 pounds, then this thing must have weighed 300 pounds. It towered over the other dog, and that was when it was on all 4 feet. It had long, shaggy fur too, but this fur was a dark gray color with specks of brown mixed in. It had big ears on the top of its head and teeth that looked like they could eviscerate that dog if it got a hold of it. This thing looked more muscular than any animal I've ever seen in my entire life, and this creature had a long, shaggy tail too. But the weird thing about this creature was it was swiping at this dog. What kind of canine swipes its claws out when it's fighting? And while we're on the subject of its paws, this thing didn't look like it had paws at all on the front legs. It was using hands to swipe at this dog. This thing looked more like it had the hands of a raccoon than the paws of a dog. It had fingers that were articulated to grab a hold of things. The scene itself, when all of us boys and our scout leader got there, was pretty chaotic. You had a couple of us yelling that we wanted to go back, and a couple of us yelling what the heck was going on. All of us were yelling, some in fear, some in curiosity, but either way, all these young boys yelling at the top of their lungs, things got pretty loud. Tom was shushing us, trying to get us all calmed down. But I don't think those two dogs that were fighting could hear anything over the noises they were making. Tom was telling us all to get back and get out of the way, and run back to camp because he didn't want us to get attacked by either of those creatures. But he looked like he couldn't pull his eyes away from the battle himself. I think he was more curious than any of us boys were. That dog just kept lunging and snapping at this werewolf creature, and it was barking its head off. But those barks, even as loud as they were drowned out by the screams that this werewolf creature was making. Sitting here now, trying to type this story out, I'm having a hard time describing just what this roar sounded like. If you've ever been to a zoo where there's lions, and you hear one of the lions roar, you know that you could feel it inside of your body because it's so deep. That's how it felt when this thing roared, but not how it sounded. It was this primal roar. It sounded like it could be a mixture of a man and an animal, and it was deafening. There were parts of it that sounded high-pitched, but also parts of it that were so deep that you could feel it in your eardrums, rumbling inside your head. Tom was still trying to wrangle all of us kids up, trying to pull us away from the scene and push us back towards camp. But some of our curiosities were just so heightened that we wanted to stay and watch. We were trying to hide behind this big tree, so we could get a good look at what was going on. Then I noticed across the clearing was this man yelling to the dog. He was yelling at the other creature too, but it was calling the dog, trying to get it to come away from this thing, trying to get it to heal, to run. But obviously, this dog wasn't listening, and it was entangled in this fight with this creature, where I was sure was going to be a fight to the death. I still to this day remember the name of that dog. The dog's name was Max. From what I could tell, Max looked like he was bleeding, but he still didn't back down and kept lunging at this creature. I don't know if Max was trying to defend his owner or trying to defend himself because this werewolf attacked him, but either way, this dog was definitely brave. The dog man, or werewolf, or whatever it was, kept swatting and roaring, trying to get to this dog. But every time the dog man swatted, Max would dodge out of the way and lunge at him. I could see wounds on the limbs of this dog man, and one on its face where the blood was trickling by its ear. But it didn't look like Max was doing much damage to this werewolf monster at all. I could tell, though, that Max was definitely wounded. Finally, that werewolf creature, I guess, had had enough and turned tail and ran off into the forest. When it ran, it almost looked like a primate does when it runs, but I guess this could have been because one or both of the front legs were injured by Max during the fight. Then Max, the dog, chased the werewolf into the tree line, and you could hear it roaring as it ran away. But Max didn't actually follow him into the trees. He turned around and came running back to the guy that was screaming at him. And that damn dog was even wagging his tail as he came back to his owner. I guess that was the point where Tom figured it wasn't safe anymore, like it was safe in the beginning. But the sense that the werewolf wasn't distracted by Max anymore, he figured that thing could turn around and turn its sights on us. so he told us that now we definitely needed to get the hell out of there and get back to camp. I remember Tom had to physically carry Jimmy out of there, because he wouldn't leave the scene. Jimmy was actually one of the kids that ran off in the first place. So he deserved a good ass whooping if you ask me. But Tom was basically hissing at us that we needed to get the hell out of there, or he was going to whoop us all himself. As we ran through the woods, I could see that all of us, including myself, were absolutely scared, and we needed to get back to our camp, so we could feel the safety of our larger numbers, and possibly even get out of there. The whole way back to camp, Tom just kept telling us it was a wolf. He just kept repeating it was just a big wolf. Yeah, right. That sure as hell was no regular wolf that dog was fighting. Maybe a werewolf, but sure as hell no regular wolf. When we did get back to our campsite, Tom ran over to our other scout leader, an older man that we called Mr. Fear Smith, and they walked out of ways to have a conversation. When they came back, both of them seemed agitated, and we ended up going home early that same day. They told us that it wasn't safe there because there was a wolf running around, and Mr. Smith had been radioed that we needed to evacuate the area. Honestly, I think they made the whole thing up. I think Tom told Mr. Smith what he'd really seen, and they decided that it was in our best interest to just get the hell out of the area. I don't know if Tom used the word wolf or if he used the word werewolf during his conversation with Mr. Smith, but whatever was said during that conversation made Mr. Smith think twice about staying there for another night, and it made him just as nervous as Tom was. When we got back though, basically the whole thing was covered up as a wolf encounter. I'll ask you again, what kind of canine creature swipes its claws out during a fight? A wolf doesn't do that. This thing had hands too, not paws. This thing was bigger than any wolf or dog I have ever seen. It definitely wasn't a wolf. For years, all of us boys, by some touch, stuck to the stories from what we saw with our own eyes. We knew what we saw, and we knew it wasn't a wolf. Unfortunately though, as the years passed, all of us started to go our own ways and lose touch with each other. Some of us moved out of the state, others passed away. But I don't actually keep in touch with any of the boys that I was in that trip with, let alone the rest of them that saw that creature when I did. In my research on this creature, I've come to the conclusion that what I encountered was not a full-grown dog man, even though it looked huge to an 11-year-old boy. Don't get me wrong, compared to that dog, it looked huge too, but usually, a dog man sighting involves an even more massive creature than what I witnessed. That actually sends shivers down my spine thinking about it. This thing was gigantic and dwarfed all of us and Max. I can't imagine something that looks that ferocious being even bigger. I think it was a young male dog man that tried to pick a fight with Max instead of steering clear of it, and Max ended up fighting back. Had this been a full-grown dog man, I believe the outcome would have been drastically different, and that poor dog would have just been an afternoon snack. But because this dog man was either a juvenile or a young male, it didn't have the mass or the experience that an older dog man would have, and Max was able to chase it off. One thing's for sure though, I will never look at the forest the same way. I respected the forest back then, but now I have this deep respect for the forest, and the creatures in there that we know of, and the creatures that hide in the shadows that we can't even think of. I have been wanting to tell you guys this story that happened about 25 years ago with my children. My children would cross the road to go up to this guy's driveway and play all the time. Well, one evening they went running into the house. They said, "Mom, we heard a werewolf." I thought, well now, they heard this weird dog, you know. I went back outside and I could hear it too, and it wasn't like a regular dog, it was very, very odd. Well, I didn't know what to think about it, and I was a typical housewife, cooking and taking care of the stuff, and so I went back in the house, and it was just when the sun was going down when this happened, and I lived in a kind of in the woods area. But this guy, like I said, had a big long concrete driveway that my kids would play on. Well, that evening, and I want you to know, God will strike me dead. It is the truth, we had a big picture window in the house. And that guy was a doctor that lived up on this hill, and he would come home late in the night. Well, I heard a strange sound and I went to that picture window, and I looked out into my yard. I could see the car lights and him coming up the road, and right there, I always thought it was a joke. Werewolves were a joke, and I saw this thing that had a huge back, and when it turned its head around, it had a snout at least a foot and a half long on it. Its body was huge. I had never seen anything like that. Then you mentioned about UFOs. Linda Godfrey earlier talked about a werewolf encounter involving a UFO. There were some weird lights that we had seen just before I saw this. It scared me so bad that I ran into the back room and locked the door. Art asked to describe the sound well, sort of like a weird dog screaming, you know, sort of like that. I'm not really sure exactly how to describe it. Linda asked how the doctor was involved. It was just outside when he came in. He came home late in the evening, because he was like an emergency room doctor, and he worked late, and I had been staying up a little bit later. I guess this was close to midnight. Maybe around that time, and I never expected anything. I just thought here he came, but just the way the car drove and the way the lights came into my yard, I did not see any hands or arms. But I did see it move its body, and it had huge shoulders. I had never seen anything like that in my life. It had to be at least 6 feet tall maybe, but its back was so large when it turned its head. Now I want you to know that I thought all that stuff was a joke, and I never believed in anything like werewolves because I grew up, I'm an older lady, and I watched all those horror films years ago. I thought all that stuff was a joke. But when I saw that, that freaked me so much. My mom shared a strange and creepy experience she and her siblings and parents witnessed when she was younger, at around 6 years of age. My mom is a very elegant, classy, prim and proper woman who would not be the type of person to lie about this just to scare someone. Also, my aunts and uncles have verified this story individually. My grandparents, mother, aunts and uncles temporarily lived in a small village or town in the Chiapas state of Mexico, with a population of about 1,000 people scattered throughout the hilly landscape. They lived at the bottom of one of the larger hills, Cerro, which could take a couple of hours to hike to the very top. My grandparents were relatively poor, my grandfather making just enough to provide for their necessities by working at a sugar cane field. Yet they lived in one of the nicer homes because of its proximity to the hill, and an alleged witch house at the top of that hill. Locals stayed away from the house, and rent was cheapest there out of all the other much simpler homes available. My grandparents, aunts, uncles, and mom had some paranormal experiences in that home. Most of these were attributed to the witch in typical Mexican folklore fashion. The skinwalker they witnessed, however, was what made them leave. My mom says that one day she was inside at the entrance of the home, with the door wide open, playing with some toys. My aunts and uncles were in the same room behind her, also playing and roughhousing, while my grandfather was relaxing on a rocking chair in that room. She happened to look upright as a medium-sized black dog was walking along the road in front of the home. What spooked her was that this dog had two human breasts hanging from its chest that were connected to its skin, as though it were a part of its body. She says the breasts were hairless, which allowed her to see that they were indeed human breasts, and not some sort of tumor or growth on the dog. My mom says the dog instantly gave her very bad feelings, and she started to cry. This caused the dog to stop in its tracks and look at my mom. My grandfather got up and headed towards the door, as did my aunts and uncles, to see what was happening. He instantly recognized what the creature was and pulled out a small revolver he always carried with him due to the long treks he made on foot to his job. He aimed the revolver and tried pulling the trigger, but the gun kept jamming and would not fire. He tried it multiple times, each time checking and making sure the gun was in proper working order, but it simply would not fire. All the while the dog was just standing there watching. The dog eventually turned and started running down the road and into some overgrowth along the side of the road. After it disappeared from view, my grandfather tried shooting his gun, and it fired without a hitch. Although they were very limited financially, they moved out within a week after the encounter. I wanted to include every detail that my family members provided me with to create the best possible picture of what happened. Unfortunately, both of my grandparents passed when I was really young, so I cannot ask them about this event. I've never heard of a skinwalker partially changing or turning, and found this quite interesting. The stories on here are great. I have one to share, although probably not one of the better ones. Me and this girl, both around the age of 22, were out on the town for some drinks and dancing with other friends. We all worked together, and she rode with me to meet everyone else at this club. Fast forward, it's the end of the night. My grandmother at the time, rest her soul, lived in a semi-secluded area, decent yard, wooded hill surrounding the back, and across the street you could climb down and go to this creek and go swimming. On one end it was shallow, the other end was deeper. It's like 1 a.m. in the morning at this point. Being the hopeless romantic I am, I took this girl there to swim, hoping to skinny dip. We climbed down the embankment, probably like a 15-foot climb down. We head over to the deeper end while walking from the shallow end. We're kind of just sitting in the water with our feet in, kissing and stuff. Things start to get heated, and I take my shirt off and jump in about shoulder deep water. She's still sitting on the edge of like this ledge before you get into the deep water. I get in between her legs, and we start making out some more. She starts to take her shirt off while I'm in the water, and she's on the ledge of this rock while sitting in the water. Now, the moon is out, and it's kind of lit up along the creek bed. All of a sudden, we hear what is like huffing and grunting and sticks and brush moving around. I thought maybe one of my uncles were awake, and came over to the edge of the climb down to see what all the noise was, even though we weren't being noisy, at least I didn't think so. I called out to the area where the noise was, and nothing. We couldn't see what it was, and this wasn't noises coming from a deer. It starts to get more aggressive, as if it's getting closer and approaching faster. I get the hell out of the water, and we start walking fast or running when we could to where we have to climb back up. As we're running, we can hear whatever it was make its way into the water and cross over to our side that we have to climb up on. I'm telling her to hurry the F up and climb as I'm pushing her up the embankment. She gets up and gives me her hand to help me up. I get man and I swear, whatever it was right behind me climbing up too. We sprint over to my grandma's house across the street, and luckily her door was open. Back about 20 years ago, this wasn't all that uncommon. We get inside and I close the door locking it. I look outside the curtains and nothing is out there. I can't quite remember, but I'm pretty sure everyone was asleep in the house. I got us some towels to dry up with and waited for about 30 minutes and got in the car and left. It was crazy. I got chills just remembering about this. I live very close to the forest. I have to pass only two houses until the first trees grow. This is where I go when I'm feeling bad for any reason. So one afternoon I just left my home and almost ran into the forest. I just randomly walked around without any clue of where I was going. At one point I stumbled and fell. At this point I was just done, so I just turned so I would lay on my back and stared up in the sky. Stayed there for quite a while without moving. After it had been dark for quite a while, I heard a crack, like someone stepping on a branch. This was when I noticed that I, a young, defenseless woman, was laying on the ground completely alone somewhere in the middle of the woods, and that nobody would be here or help me if I got in any trouble. So I got scared and stood up as soon as I could. Now remember, I have been quite distressed when I came there, so I didn't look at what was around me at all. And while I was laying around, all I looked at was the sky. So I had absolutely no idea where I was. So the first thing I saw was some sort of cage. And there were other weird shapes that I could see. And then I heard another noise, so I was sure someone was walking around near me. I freaked out and tried running for it, which was quite hard, as it was in the middle of the night. But the moon was shining bright, so I actually managed to not get hurt. I ran around, eventually found a way, followed it, and ended up near a chapel on a hill. I recognized it, and therefore was able to find my way back home. I arrived there at about 1 a.m. I was incredibly exhausted, but also pretty scared, as you don't come across cages in the middle of the woods on a daily basis. And so how my mind made the connection hiding human plus cage equals extreme danger, so I locked everything. I was so creeped out. I was really paranoid for weeks, but nothing more happened. I eventually overheard some classmates talk about an abandoned zoo nearby that they were going to look for. Googled it, and there apparently still are some cages. Looks like I figured out where I had been, and probably got scared by some deer. I actually might go search for that place during daytime. I mean, it sounds pretty interesting. September 18. The river monster, which has been sighted at numerous locations upstream, causing great alarm and preying on horses and cattle crossing the river, has undoubtedly arrived in our vicinity, sparking considerable excitement. This morning, around 8 o'clock, while the ferry boat, carrying two wagons and three horsemen, was traversing to the eastern shore, a sudden and violent shaking of the boat occurred. The jolt was so abrupt that one man seated on the gunwale was thrown into the water. Fortunately, he managed to grasp the side of the boat and was pulled back in, albeit thoroughly soaked. The initial shake was akin to an earthquake, while the second lifted the boat clear from the water, nearly capsizing it. The horses struggled to maintain their footing. The river surged as if caught in a whirlpool, with waves reaching 2 feet high and crashing across the boat. Simultaneously, the occupants witnessed, 40 feet away, an immense object slicing through the water with immense force. It was undoubtedly the pelican-beaked head of the monstrous creature, its powerful tail causing the violent rocking of the boat. The creature expelled a jet of water 10 feet high, its roar audible from the shore, before vanishing beneath the surface. This account, provided by those aboard the boat, instilled great fear, yet they managed to row ashore safely. Upon sharing their story, it stirred a sensation among the villagers, prompting 50 to 100 men to venture down the river in hopes of catching a glimpse of the colossal reptile. The community is abuzz with discussion, and there is talk of organizing an expedition to monitor the river and confront the monster. Among the passengers on the boat were W. Ferris and his wife, George Smith, B. W. Williams and Henry Hoffmeyer. The latter, a traveling agent for a reputable St. Louis firm, and the others are esteemed individuals known for their honesty. As you may be aware, this region of Missouri, Tennessee, and the Mississippi River has a history of seismic activity, often altering the river's course. The Muscogee people attributed such occurrences to the Ty Snake, a mythical river god believed to dwell beneath the earth. Reports of monsters in the Mississippi have persisted for centuries, often attributed to large paddlefish, massive catfish, or even giant alligators migrating upstream. Additionally, bull sharks from the Gulf of Mexico have been known to venture into the river, reaching as far north as Illinois. A friend and I found ourselves being stalked by a mountain lion during a camping trip at a Christian camp behind my house. We had spent the day hanging out in the conference center, and had to walk back to our campsite at night. Although I was familiar with the hiking trails from growing up in the area, the darkness enveloped us, and we had only a lighter for illumination. As we were about 200 yards from our tent, I began to notice the subtle rustling of leaves behind us. Initially, I dismissed it as a bird hopping around in the underbrush. However, as we continued down the trail, the rustling escalated into loud pouncing sounds, and whatever was making them ascended onto a ledge above us. The sudden noise startled us, prompting my friend to ignite the lighter to investigate. What we saw in the flickering light left us both stunned, two unmistakable cat eyes glimmering back at us. In that brief moment, we both realized a mountain lion was lurking just yards away. Instinctively, I grabbed my friend to prevent him from bolting and instructed him to retrieve his knife. We both drew our knives, attempting to maintain composure as we proceeded along the trail for the remaining 100 yards. The sound of the mountain lion's steps echoed ominously behind us, mere feet away. When we finally reached the tent, we made a dash for safety, scrambling to find the battery-powered lantern. From the shelter of the tent, we observed the mountain lion circling us for about 10 minutes. Strangely, it didn't exhibit signs of aggression. Instead, it seemed more curious than anything else. Unfazed by our presence, it even took a moment to groom itself, nonchalantly licking its paw. We refrained from making any sudden movements or loud noises, not wanting to provoke it further. Eventually, the mountain lion wandered off, and we breathed a sigh of relief. However, the image of those piercing eyes illuminated by the flame of the lighter against the dark forest backdrop remains etched in my memory, a reminder of the wild and unpredictable nature of the wilderness. Not exactly hiking, but a few years ago, I was traveling through India alone. I met this Italian girl on the way to Kanha National Park. We were staying at the same lodge there, although for some reason her room was a little cabin a fair distance from the main building. I went there to hang out after dinner one evening. When I went to return to my room, it was pitch black outside, although I could see the lights of the restaurant that had no walls a little way off in the distance. Plus, I handy my trusty mini maglight torch. About halfway back, there was this sudden movement and noise right next to me. Well, my torch was useless and I couldn't see a thing. The noise can only be described as rustling, ripping, mixed in with some guttural type sounds that I had never heard before. Scared the shit out of me, so I legged it fast as I could back to the restaurant. As soon as I got there, all these small deer came crowding around the restaurant, making an awful sort of howling noise. This prompted the owner to come in. He explained that there had been a kill, and that they were coming closer for safety. I explained to him what I'd heard on the path, then went to bed. About 6 a.m., there was a knock on the door. It was the owner saying I should come and take a look at something. So we headed back up the trail to my friend's cabin. Right in the middle, and not more than 50 centimeters from the path, was the carcass of a large deer or antelope, missing its throat and middle section. According to the owner and his staff, it was caused either by a small tiger or a large leopard. So that's the story of how I narrowly missed becoming a big cat's dinner. When I was 16, my dad took me hunting for the first time. It was the middle of the day, so I decided to hunt small game. Found a good spot on a steep hill, where a tree had fallen over that made a perfect place to sit. I was there for about 45 minutes and had probably 8 squirrels and one I just clipped and was screaming in a lot of pain. To this day, I still feel bad about it. The next thing I knew, I was being charged by this huge squirrel. It had this crazy hair and was twice the size, running full steam on the log I was sitting on. I took 5 panic-filled shots that thought would be my last when little Rambo didn't flinch once and just jumped over my head off into the woods. I gathered my kills and got the hell out there. When I got back to camp, I told my dad, and he just laughed. Thinking back, it was pretty funny. Not sure if this is related or not, but as a kid, I always had trouble sleeping, and even as an adult. Anyway, a couple weeks after our hunting trip, I couldn't sleep. My room was downstairs, and everyone else was upstairs. So on this night, I decided to try and sleep on the floor. I had a big closet that was to the left of the room and right next to where I was lying down. It didn't have a door. It was actually under the stairs. So I was lying on my right side facing the closet, just about to fall asleep, when something grabbed my right forearm. So I start screaming, trying to get this thing off me. It scared me even more when I started to feel this thing's features. It had a huge head and was wrinkled with a pointed nose. It was wearing clothes and was 3 feet tall. Now I was punching and doing everything I could, but it wouldn't let go. Its hand covered half of my arm. The first light I tried to turn on wouldn't, so I lunged over for the closet light. It, thank God, worked, and it was gone just like that. This is not a story, and just wondering if anyone has info or a thought. Could it have been the squirrel shape shifter protecting his woods who followed me home to give me a good scare? Man, only God knows. In 2017, I was studying abroad in Italy for a little over 2 weeks with a few classmates and our professor. We were on the last few days of the trip, and we were staying in Milan at a hotel called the Hotel del Sole. There were 9 of us total, and we were all spread out in 4 rooms throughout the little hotel. It was a nice hotel, and the staff was incredibly kind and helpful. I had no reason to feel creeped out at all, until that first night. The 2 other girls, let's call them Addie and Melanie, and I were sharing room 45. I didn't know them that well, but we got along fine. We'd headed to bed a little after 11, but I stayed up on my phone for an hour or so. When I finally got sleepy, I got up and plugged my phone in to charge before returning to bed. At around 1 a.m., something very strange happened. I felt this vibration go through me, and the sound that came with it sounded like it was coming from the walls. It was loud and undulating, changing in volume, pulsing almost. The closest thing I've found to accurately describe what it sounded like is the beginning of the song Knights of Cydonia, by Muse Without the Horses and the Hoof Beats. That weird alien instrumental at the beginning. I swear, that's what I heard at 1 a.m. that night. I heard Melanie, who I was sharing the bed with, whisper, "What is that?" "I don't know," I whispered back. Melanie and I didn't say anything else. Addie was still asleep in a cot beside the bed. If my phone hadn't been across the room, I would have grabbed it and recorded the sound. But I couldn't bring myself to get out of bed. I couldn't even move. I was so freaked out. After about 2 minutes, the sound stopped, and eventually, I fell asleep. It reoccurred the next 2 nights we stayed at the hotel. Anywhere between midnight and 3 a.m., Melanie asked the rest of the group if they'd heard anything in their rooms that first night, but no one had. It was just room 45. I'll never know what that sound was. I wish I would have recorded it, but I'll never forget it. What a way to end a trip to Italy. A few years ago, I met a guy on Craigslist in the casual encounter section. At that time, I didn't know what he looked like, but he had a chilled out vibe. He described himself to me, and after talking for about a week or two, he sent me some regular pictures of himself with his family. No, not the kind you might be thinking, just normal pictures from their trips to Disney when they were younger. This guy was single. Not like many others on casual encounters who were cheating on their partners. He had a family with 2 parents, 2 younger brothers, and a sister, so it seemed like he was a genuinely single guy, just looking to connect with someone. I was a bit confused when he sent me pictures of himself from when he was 18 to 19 years old, even though he was in his late 20s at that time. I was in my mid-30s and not actively looking for casual hookups. but I also didn't want to be lonely all the time. Living alone made me feel really lonely, and I disliked having no one around. Of course, I wasn't so desperate that I would hang out with strange or random men. But I realized I didn't have good social skills to meet new people, especially guys I was interested in. I would only go on dating apps or sites in the evenings just out of curiosity, but most of the time, I didn't have much luck with them. As a girl, I got a lot of matches and messages from guys, but they all seemed to send the same boring and stereotypical responses like, "Hey, how are you?" and "You're cute." The few guys who were different and interesting often didn't look attractive to me or weren't my type at all. Then, my friend told me about the casual encounter section on Craigslist, where she had found a couple of good, decent guys. It was hard to believe, but I thought I'd give it a try. At that point, I had been chatting with this guy for about 3 to 4 weeks before deciding to meet him. We didn't talk every single night, but on average, we would chat every other night. During our conversations, we shared stories about our past, what we liked to do, and our future plans. He was studying to become a car mechanic at a university close to where I lived, just about a 4 to 5 minute drive or a 15 to 20 minute walk away. Since we were so near, I thought it was a good time to suggest meeting up. It was a bit strange that he hadn't brought it up himself, especially because other guys on dating apps usually wanted to meet right away, and I understood why. But this guy, on the other hand, seemed a bit withdrawn and just seemed like he was happy to have chats online forever. But that's not what I wanted, as I wanted a real-life relationship and a connection with someone in person, not just through a computer screen. As time went on, we reached the 1 month mark. Things were getting a bit ridiculous by then. Even though I had many people interested on other dating apps, I found myself liking this guy more than any of them. I had spent a lot of time talking to him, learning about his goals, future plans, and values on many evenings. Obviously, this guy was attractive, especially based on the pictures he sent me when he was 19. But when we finally planned to meet up, I was in for a surprise. I tried to meet him twice. The first time, he canceled at the last moment, saying he was busy and needed to reschedule. I was quite annoyed, to say the least. But then, on the second time we tried to meet, we agreed to meet at a local bar. Before that, we planned to meet halfway between our homes and walk the rest of the way to the bar together. The idea was to get to know each other better while walking and then grab a drink. After that, he said he would walk me back to the halfway point, and then we would go our separate ways. I wanted to keep our home addresses private until I was sure he wasn't a stalker or a creep. So, there I was on a Saturday evening. It was still light outside and very warm because it was summer. I was even sweating a little as I walked to the halfway point. I was looking forward to going to the bar and having some cool drinks, enjoying the air conditioning inside to cool off. I waited at the meeting point at 1:30, which was the time we had agreed to meet. But when I arrived at the meeting point, he wasn't there. I thought it wasn't a big deal. He might be running late due to something important, or had some other urgent matter to attend to before meeting me. I understand that guys can be late for various reasons, and I'm not the type to get upset about it. I decided to wait patiently without getting upset. But here's an important part of the story. Sadly, I didn't bring my phone with me. So, I was standing there without any way to contact anyone or receive any messages. I stood there on the busy street with just my bag and clothes. It felt awkward just waiting there on the sidewalk. His place was above the shopping area, so there were many people around, making it hard to figure out who he was because I had only seen pictures of him when he was 10 years younger. I was confused and waited for about 20 minutes past our agreed meeting time, which was almost 2 o'clock. I decided to give him another 5 to 10 minutes, checking the time on my watch. But after waiting for 40 whole minutes, I felt like a fool standing in the same spot, looking silly and waiting for nothing. God knows what all the people thought of me, let alone the people that lived behind and above the shops on this street. Eventually, I ended up walking home. I can't believe it. This guy had literally abandoned the date, and because I didn't know where he lived, I didn't know what to do. When I got back home and got through the door, I put my bag down and went to my room. I picked up my phone, which was charging at the time. I looked at my phone to find almost 100 missed messages and calls from this guy, all of them describing how I looked, how pretty, beautiful, and cute I was standing there all by myself. I immediately felt sick, and an awful heavy feeling hit me in my gut. This guy had just been watching me and basically doing stuff to himself while I was standing on the street. It was awful to discover that the halfway point was probably where he lived, and he had been doing inappropriate things while watching me from his window. I felt disgusted. I reported him to the police right away and blocked him on all platforms, even deleting my Craigslist account and blocking his phone number. After that experience, I decided never to meet anyone online through dating apps or Craigslist again. Instead, I started meeting people in real life by joining clubs and communities. I suggest everyone do the same because there are just too many creeps out there, and it's disgusting. Stay safe and meet people in a more secure and genuine way. Looking for housing on Craigslist. Perhaps my worst idea yet. Here's how the worst of it went down. Me. Hi. Is the room you have advertised still available? Poster. Yes, I am available. I'm a brown-haired, brown-eyed male, 190 pounds, 6 foot 2, physically very fit, funny, and very witty. Okay, that's nice. P. I'm a single male, hope you don't mind. I'm a good man and I've always respected the ladies. M. I'd gaff that you're single. Or male. I'm just looking for a room. Is the one in the ad still available? How much is rent? May I see some pictures of the place? P. You don't have to be a bitch. Send me a picture of yourself. Wearing something sexy. Are you a non-smoker? You don't really need pictures, but I'll only send one until you send me one of yourself. It will be like a game. M. This isn't going to work out. P. But you don't understand, I love the ladies. I only blame myself for expecting more from this community. Was looking to rent a room for the summer for an internship. The landlady seemed nice. The room was at the side of the fairly old house. When I went to inspect the room at first it was dirty, but she promised me it would be clean. Well, when I arrived for my first day, it was dirtier than I visited earlier. Landlady was not around to open the door, and asked me to climb over the wall to enter the house. Once I had done that, she promptly informed me that I could not use any other part of the house other than my room, not even access the kitchen for water. Additionally, she tried to impose timings for using the bathroom for morning showers before work, and established a cleaning procedure for the bathroom after every use. She also sent me report cards on how clean the bathroom every day by email. Also, there were spiders everywhere. I decided to move out in a week, but she refused to return the deposit and tried to track me down later. All in all, a most unpleasant experience. I was getting dinner with a group of my friends on my 17th birthday. As we are eating our meal, my friend's phone starts blowing up with text, tons of people saying they are interested in his Craigslist posts. He was really confused because he hadn't posted on Craigslist in months, so naturally we all pull out our phones to find what people could be inquiring about. My first stop was the personals section. Sure enough, an ad had been posted 15 minutes prior on the Men Seeking Men page with a picture of my buddy, lengthy physical description, and all of his contact info. Someone was obviously messing with him by posting that ad, but he never asked around to find out who did it out of embarrassment. Probably 6-7 years ago, I bought a phone from a guy on Craigslist and used it for a good solid month or two. I rooted it, modded it, got bored with it, and decided to sell it. One of the very first people to respond to the ad I had up was the cousin of the guy I bought it from. I found this out after the fact. Anyways, the guy offered me the asking price, and then he started offering me more money, ensuring he would secure the phone. It was a little weird, but I wasn't going to turn down money if he was going to give it to me. So we met up to complete the sale, and he started checking over the phone. I could tell something wasn't right, so I asked for my phone back and tried to take it out of his hand. He resisted, punched me in the face, and took off running. I never got my phone back because I can't run for shit. Turns out, the guy I met up with was going around meeting people to buy their phones and then robbing them. It all finally ended when he held up a couple with a young kid in the back seat at gunpoint for all of their belongings. They drove up to a store a block or so away from where it all happened and called the cops. The main guy and an accomplice were picked up a little later and admitted to the whole thing, plus other robberies. He ended up doing 3-5 years or some shit like that, and I got some money back for the lost property.